All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
But yet has the delusions of grandeur to be pushed into the scene thinking he's some kind of CIA James Bond-style asset. This is so obvious. I mean, 6 cell phones? Come on. We're supposed to think that's normal. That's how you talk to your handler. Just about as normal as the overseas accounts that Crooks has. And as the UK Daily Mail pointed out just yesterday, the FBI, you will not get this from the US media, the FBI has not ruled out that Crooks had help. They have ruled out that he had help on the ground that day, as in there's not another shooter. They haven't ruled out that he had help or that it came in the means of, you know, financial assistance via those accounts. Good catch.
Can I just bottom line this for you? Folks, this couldn't be more obvious. This guy, Ryan Ruth, is your classic asset. Exactly who any enterprising American intelligence agency looking to recruit an asset to, assassinate someone they don't like, exactly who you'd want to pick. He's a true believer. He actually believes the left-wing lies that he was regurgitating, lies you could get right off of CNN. He was mentally ill, clearly, but high-functioning mentally ill. Park McDougall, writing in The Scroll, put it perfectly. The location Ruth chose to stake out was particularly well-suited for the job, offering an unobstructed view of the 6-hole from close range. A Secret Service whistleblower informed Senator Josh Hawley that that precise location where Ruth was discovered had been identified in advance many times before as a security vulnerability, and that it had become standard protocol to post agents there when the former president was golfing, a protocol that for some reason was ignored the day of the attempted assassination. Folks, could this get any more obvious? Worse yet, it looks like somebody with our government is still trying to kill Trump. Otherwise, they wouldn't have released the manifesto. They wouldn't have released the $150,000 offer for completing a hit on Trump. Matt Whitaker, former head of the Department of Justice, who released this, he was the acting attorney general under Trump, was appalled. Take a listen.
You just can't put this out in the public so recklessly, for the whole world to understand that there's now a stated bounty and a number on President Trump's head. This is so outrageous that it's incomprehensible to me.
He continued.
It makes no sense. In fact, it's incredibly dangerous, irresponsible, and shows a really poor judgment being exercised by at least the U.S. Attorney's Office, but most likely all of the Department of Justice. You know, they could have redacted that information. They could have submitted it in camera or had a hearing outside of public view. But this information to be out there was purposeful, and that makes you kind of question all of these decisions because they always seem to make the decision that harms President Trump the most.
But it's when you contrast the release of the manifesto, at least part of it, with the bounty on Trump's head, with all the other times they didn't release manifestos so that nobody would be inspired to carry on the violence, well, you can only come to one conclusion. Like Whitaker said, They always do the thing that'll hurt Trump the worst. In this case, maybe get him killed. Here's Jesse Waters on that.
Ruth's letter purportedly says that he failed to assassinate Donald Trump and that he was offering $150,000 to anyone who could finish the job. So the Biden administration just released the assassin's manifesto that put a $150,000 bounty on Trump's head and called him unfit to serve. The same language Biden's used. The FBI wouldn't release the Nashville trans school shooters manifesto because they said at the time they didn't want to inspire more violence. But they published this guy's manifesto? And why'd they only cherry pick the first page? What else is in these letters? Law enforcement tells us publishing Ruth's letter is basically giving the public a blueprint for the next assassination. And who the hell is this mysterious witness? Is he in custody? He sounds like a co-conspirator. And what kind of witness, you know, you get a box from someone and you don't open it? Was he following instructions? And then he didn't give it to the feds until 3 days after the assassination attempt. And does the FBI even have custody of this letter? Or did they just take a screen grab from a mysterious witness and submit it to the court?
Yeah, you heard that right. The FBI screenshotted the first page. You know, the justification for killing Trump, the extortion for somebody else to try it, and the monetary reward. But the rest of it, they did not make public. See, and there's this other really weird thing about Ryan Ruth. His entire history with money is strange, the Scroll reports. Most reports suggest he was serially broke. According to the UK Daily Mail, he was ordered to pay $32,000 in back taxes by the IRS in 2008. He was hit with more than $160,000 in liens, judgments, and small claims in North Carolina. In 2009, his ex-wife ceased requesting child support out of concern for his financial situation. New York Times reported that by mid-2023, Ruth was living in his car and had only $68 in his bank account, yet was somehow able to afford near constant overseas travel, including to Ukraine, Taiwan, Poland, and Turkey. Well, Ruth claimed that his wife was funding his efforts in June of 2023 in an interview with the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. But his wife, or fiance, it's hard to tell what she is, Kathleen Schaefer, is listed as the editor of Ruth's self-published book. You know, the one where he talks about how he wants to kill Trump? Yeah. She works at a local hardware store in Oahu and not in management. She works on the floor. That's according to New York Post. She nevertheless, though, owns several properties in St. Louis. Yeah. And the two live together in a house in Hawaii valued at $890,000. Any of this make any sense to you? Does that make any more sense than him appearing in an Azov battalion recruitment video? A professionally done one? Do you know who trained the Azovs, who organized them and ultimately helped them to overthrow the Ukrainian government? It was the CIA. The fact that the CIA had done this under Barack Obama actually became a thorn of contention. You'll remember from previous Battleground America podcast on the left, who were writing honestly about it through 2019, they didn't like it because white supremacists and other wannabe Nazis and Nazi fans the world over were traveling to Ukraine to join the Azovs well before Putin ever rolled his tanks into the country under Joe Biden. Then Ruth appears in a second recruitment video. This one just had footage from an Azov battalion rally, and he's there. Folks, you know what this means, right? He's a neo-Nazi. More than likely, that's what he is. One who was allowed to lay there for 12 hours in a normally highly secure spot. Folks, this spot's so well known, the media would gather there to take pictures of Trump, but only after they'd been waved through by the Secret Service, who checked their credentials. Yet on that day, for 12 hours, totally unsecure, the most obvious spot? Are you kidding me? And look, folks, this is becoming very obvious to people all over the world. Did you see this piece in the UK Daily Mail? Folks, they all but said it. The headline, "Who Really Tried to Kill Trump?" And you know what they point out? The FBI hasn't ruled out a link between Thomas Crooks, you know, the killer from the Butler rally, and the assassination teams, the five of them that are in the country, and the various accounts, the foreign overseas accounts that he had. It's something the American media either hasn't caught on to or they're deliberately ignoring. The UK Daily Mail is, by hits, clicks, and likes, the largest newspaper on earth, okay? When they publish who really tried to kill Trump, that is the actual headline. And they write this, quote, quoting a Melania Trump, "The attempt to end my husband's life was a horrible, distressing experience. Now the silence around it feels heavy. There's definitely more to this story. And we need to uncover the truth." And they try to. Last, they write, but not least, nobody has yet adequately explained why the Secret Service sniper team, which had their guns trained on crooks, waited for him to start shooting before firing back and killing him. Bingo. I've been saying this for the longest time. Folks, there's a reason that they lied about the order in which Crooks was shot in the official timeline by both the Secret Service and the FBI. He was not stopped by the Secret Service shooter. That was a lie that was told to Congress and the American people. No, he was stopped by a police sniper from Butler who ran into the line of fire and shot his weapon. And it wasn't until after his weapon was disabled, he couldn't shoot Trump anymore, that the Secret Service sniper took him out. Remember, we still don't know who that is. That's a state secret. This guy should be the biggest hero in America. He should already have a book deal. We don't know who this person is, but most importantly, we don't know where he shot from. Why do we not know that? Because everybody by now has seen a diagram of the site. Because where he shot from, I guarantee you, I will do the podcast in the future when I tell you he had an unobstructed view. Either was not allowed to shoot, was told not to shoot, something like that. In other words, he watched this guy climb up there, scope out Trump with the rangefinder, take that shot, and get stopped by a local police sniper before the shot was taken. That's why they can't tell you where the sniper shot from. And the UK Daily Mail gets it completely. They're seeing what the rest of the liberal world media don't dare say. They write this too. "Most intriguingly, however, Crooks was using encrypted message accounts based in Belgium, Germany, and New Zealand. Why does a 19-year-old kid who is a healthcare aide need encrypted platforms, not even based in the United States, but based abroad where most terrorist organizations know it is harder for our law enforcement to get into?" Then they write, "Did Crooks act alone?" Next paragraph, "The FBI is yet to rule out the possibility that Crooks was working with co-conspirators. In an odd and underreported coincidence, the day before the shooting, FBI officials arrested Pakistani national Asif Raja Merchant, who has ties to Iran, accusing him of trying to hire hitmen to kill U.S. politicians in retaliation for Trump's 2020 assassination of Iranian Revolutionary Guard commander Qasem Soleimani. There is no available evidence connecting Crooks to Merchant or any international plot. But why hasn't the FBI explicitly ruled out any link?" Now, think about what they've ruled out. They've said there wasn't another shooter. He didn't have help shooting. But what they have not ruled out is whether he had help, financial help, guidance, training, anything. Put that together with their bold-faced lie. This would be the Secret Service and the FBI. Their bold-faced lie that their sniper, the Secret Service sniper, stopped Crooks when he did not. The local sniper did and shot first. And they left that out of congressional testimony. By the way, here's a question. How did they silence the local sniper? He didn't answer to them. Where's that guy? Have they kept him under wraps? They needed to for the lie about the timeline to work. That it was the Secret Service that stopped this when it was not. They shot after the fact, killing him or silencing him, some might say, since he'd already been stopped by the shot by the local sniper, as I said before, that disabled the gun.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, notice something else that's going on here. After the debate, which, you know, most polling agrees that Kamala Harris won, at least in terms of tactically won. She may not have won hearts and minds, but she tactically won it. Remember what happened right after the debate, but before the second assassination. Her numbers went up a little bit, 2-3 points across the board, and his numbers came down a little bit across the board. She slipped a little bit ahead of him in national polling and in the swing states, allegedly. But look at the numbers that just came out this weekend. It's reversed. Trump's back up. She's back down. What other major event happened after that second assassination attempt? It's a trick question. There wasn't one. She got a bump from the debate, but then the American people saw the deep state try to kill Trump again. Did I say that out loud? And it changed everything. See, the first time could have been incompetence. After all, the Secret Service are government employees. People don't expect much from government employees. But the second time, it started to become really obvious. Why? We've never seen two back-to-back assassination attempts like this ever in American history. And certainly not in modern times, especially not when it almost looks like the Secret Service is culpable. Now, I want you to listen to the most profound thing anybody has said about any of this in America. It came from liberal Senator John Fetterman from Pennsylvania, explaining to a baffled podcast host why Trump's numbers are up and why they're up right now, particularly in Pennsylvania, and most especially why people who hate Trump are going to vote for him.
In Donald Trump, that makes them want to vote for him.
I know some people that are like, I personally think he's a terrible person, or I'm appalled by some of these things, but I fundamentally think that, you know, I'll still vote for him. And I never agreed with our approach talking about that he's a convicted felon. I mean, I thought Democrats, we were the party that was all about second chances, and that we're not going to condemn somebody based on mistakes or things in that kind of situation. And I was convinced, too, that those kinds of trials and that kinds of thing, it's not going to have any impact on that. It's like, what's left? He's been impeached twice. Now it's been two attempted assassinations, one where a bullet actually hit him. And I also want people to understand, you know, and it's not science, but there is energy and there's kinds of anger on the ground in Pennsylvania, and people are very committed, and Trump is going to be strong. And that's, we have to respect that. You can't even understand it. And it's not like a science that can explain it, but you have to just know that it's real.
Can I translate for him? He went as far there as he could. We pissed the American people off with the impeachment. We double pissed him off with the fake lawfare. The first time when we tried to kill him, the American people weren't really too sure that's what they were watching. But after the second time, it was pretty clear. Yeah, and they're pissed because the whole world can see it. I mean, when the UK Daily Mail is running headlines, who really tried to kill Trump? Come on. These things of which we do not speak in America, and this is how dysfunctional we are, like how damn obvious it is that the Secret Service attempted to aid assassin teams, lone assassins, who the hell knows, in killing Trump. We don't speak of it. We can't say it, but it is obvious to the rest of the world. And it's beginning to crack people up in exactly the way that Fetterman put it. Like this. Let's go back to this. Actor Dwayne The Rock Johnson endorsed Joe Biden. Came out and said he's not endorsing anyone this time. He came out as a keynote speaker at the Values Conference in Florida a couple weeks ago. And this is what he said. Whether you love Donald, don't love Donald, it doesn't matter. They tried to assassinate him. There's no room for that. Wait. Again, they? Who's they? Dwayne? Who is they? Say it. Come on. Somebody say it. Because there were individual shooters in each of these cases. No, they. But he knows, doesn't he? That's why he uses they. They. By the way, when he said it, the second assassination hadn't happened yet. There's no they. There's no plural shooters. What he's saying is he knows who did this. It was them, the swamp, the people from the government. We don't know their names, but they did it. Take a look at what just happened with Janet Jackson. You'll see the crack up. She's doing an interview with the Liberal Guardian. She's asked, hey, what do you think about a black female president? They're thinking she's going to think it's swell. She says, oh, she's not black. Nah, I heard her dad's not black. Now, to be fair, he's only said he was Jamaican. He's never actually told us he's black. Kamala did. Whatever the case, she brushed it off when confronted with that allegedly being a conservative conspiracy theory, saying, oh, heck, I haven't watched the news in a few days. Well, someone allegedly from her circle came out with an apology. So sorry, love diversity. Kamala's amazing, blah, blah. Well, here's where it gets weird. The media must have gone and found that guy because she disavowed the apology, said she didn't make it and fired him and then doubled down. What is Janet Jackson doing? She's giving black people permission to stay home, to not vote for this woman. For the simple reason, she's not one of us. There's something weird about these people. They make their opposition bleed from the ear on national television after two bullets run through it. Again, Janet Jackson, longtime lock, stock, and barrel Democrat, just like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I'm not saying everybody's waking up here, but what I'm saying is some people are at a significant level that they're beginning to behave in ways they never did before, including people with a history of being Democrats. Let me give you the best example of this so far. Remember the Teamsters Union and how they didn't endorse a Democrat for the first time since like the 1990s after 60% of their members, 59, voted for Donald Trump. Let's go back and look at something, and I'll show you the erosion here, and I think what did it. You know, they originally did those polls earlier this year with Biden before he got removed in that coup. And look how Biden is polling. Here's the Wisconsin Teamsters. 74% for Biden, 15 for Trump. Well, look at it when they redid it with Harris. It's 41% for Harris and 57% for Trump. Jump over to Michigan, a pretty blue state that sometimes, I guess, could go purple. When Joe Biden is who the Teamsters are voting for, 58% for him, 32% for Trump. Fast forward, Harris versus Trump, just 35% for Harris, 62% for Trump. Go to Pennsylvania, 43% for Biden, 42% for Trump. What is it today when they redid it with Harris? 31% for Harris, 65% for Trump. I could keep going through a bunch more swing states. Those are massive swings. Is it because people like Biden that much more than Harris? No, it can't be. He's always pulled a few points ahead of her. She was always less popular than him for most of the presidency, but not that much less popular. So what explains that? I mean, this is a massive working class swing right there. Again, look at Minnesota, 46% for Joe Biden, 26% for Trump. But when they poll it again for Harris just a few months ago, 37% for Harris, 59% for Trump. Okay, what's the difference? I'll tell you. The Biden polling was taken starting on April 3rd. What's going on then? Well, there had been indictments of Trump at that point, but we hadn't seen the 34-point conviction, which wouldn't happen until May. We hadn't seen the other convictions in the civil cases, but most importantly, we had not seen the first assassination attempt. The poll of the Teamsters in which Trump surges comes after. It was taken after the first assassination attempt. In other words, after we'd seen the full effect of Lawfare with the 34-count felony conviction, which was ridiculous, and the assassination attempt. Do you see the problem here? Fetterman may be one of the few people in America who gets it. In 2020, Trump lost in part because they made the race about him and the, you know, the mean tweets and all of that. Well, without meaning to, while trying to make the race about him with all the fake lawfare and I guess eventually killing him, they made the race about them. So much so, they no longer care about him. Trump, that is. They're pissed. So pissed, they don't even care what lies the media told them that they might have believed 6 months ago. And deep down, like the writers in the UK Daily Mail newsroom, they're clearly freaked out. Something is wrong with the people running America. And it's beginning to show to the rest of the country. You and I already knew a couple years ago. They're just figuring it out. They're just waking up. And folks, if that wake up continues, we could be in a very different place as a country.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.